The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's a good Thursday. The news around Arizona State basketball with Bobby Hurley sticking around with an extension and some recruiting stuff with Chris Cartman. Chris is going to join us here at 10:20. And we'll have Goody with us today. I want to talk to Bill Goody-Kuntz. Guys, I don't know if you've been following or followed James Holzhauser, the Jeopardy champion that went on and on and on and on, won over $2 million, if you followed him. But him losing earlier this week, Jeopardy was getting numbers like three times the ratings of what they were. The country, I won't say across the board, but a big portion of the country was caught up in James Holzhauser. And it was leaked out as to that he lost. It came out on Sunday night before it aired. And people were going crazy. In this day and age of social media, can you really blame anybody on this? Bill went nuts on it. So I want to talk to him about that. He's got some movies he wants to talk about. That'll be with Goody at the movies. Last night, so watched the Warriors. We'll get into that here in a second. And the investor who got kicked out of the game for pushing Kyle Lowry, I have some thoughts on that. The Diamondbacks and a good victory. Bobby Hurley, the U of A attorney saying that the school is facing significant sanctions and penalties. And Kerry Taylor, that happened last night. Chubba Purdy, too. I'm going to work Chubba Purdy in on the show, the quarterback that ASU is chasing, because I think there's some developments there. Chris Cartman here in about 7-8 minutes. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and you do that with life insurance. Have you not looked into your life insurance lately? A lot of guys don't do it, and a lot of people just put it off and say, oh, that's something you do when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're... No, you do it early, and it builds cash value. There's lots of ways that life insurance can help you out in your investment portfolio. If you've not logged on to Sagicor Now, do it. SagicorNow.com. Get your free quote. Sit there at the office while you're watching me or listen to me and whatever. Pick up your device and just put it over to SagicorNow.com and get your free quote. Get yourself taken care of with life insurance. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Chris Cartman here momentarily. All right. So last night, I love the fact that Toronto is winning in this series in the NBA Finals. I love the fact that the ratings aren't great because the true sports fan is caught up in a very good series. Like, how is there not drama around Steph Curry dropping 47 in the face of Kawhi Leonard, who's getting 30? The Raptors shoot 17 threes. They blow out Golden State at home, and the Warriors don't have either Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant. Now, they hope to have both of them for game number 4. Look, this is not LeBron James. I get the ratings are down 20% across the board when it comes to the NBA postseason. I myself love what I'm seeing. I see a guy like Marc Gasol, who's a big old stiff in some people's minds from Memphis, but he's playing very well and is a good piece with Toronto. Toronto has a kid in Siakam who's as good as anybody down the low post. I'll take Siakam on my team all day long. I love him. Love watching him play. And is Kawhi Leonard just putting up numbers and trying to win a championship only to skate out and go off to the Clippers or go off to the Lakers? I don't see the Suns having any shot at him, nor should they. There's some other directions that they should go. But so far, the series, to me, with the Raptors up 2-1, has been very, very entertaining. It's what I'd love to see. And back and forth basketball, the coaching changes, the depth of the roster. People don't know Nick Nurse is. They're going to know Nick Nurse is at Toronto. So far, it's been very entertaining. I think the part that I like most about this series so far is it's seeing Kawhi Leonard out of a San Antonio Spurs uniform and him in a space in Toronto that most of the country hasn't seen him at all this year. He is not Michael Jordan. He is not LeBron James. He's just Kawhi Leonard doing his thing out on the floor. A guy from San Diego State. Yeah, you don't have to go to the biggest schools. Newsflash here. You don't have to go to the biggest schools. You don't have to be a lottery pick in order to make it all the way to the NBA Finals. You have to be a team. And so far, what I've seen out of Toronto, they've just been the better team. And yeah, injuries happen tough. That's the way it goes. LeBron had to go through that with the Cavaliers and injuries. So it's been entertaining to watch. Bobby Hurley gets a contract extension at Arizona State. I'm putting this up higher in the show today because this is a very positive move, in my opinion, for anybody who's an Arizona State Sun Devil fan. I do believe that Bobby Hurley is taking the program in the right direction. There are some people, some, not many, there's always going to be some that aren't thrilled with the direction that they're going, that they want the program to be further along. Arizona State basketball has been a mirage through the years. In fact, you could say that about Arizona State football. It looks really good on the outside, then you get on the inside, and there's a reason why there has not been big success. Not hating, it's just a fact. Go look at the records. Go look at the numbers. Anybody who tries to defend that, you're on the school's payroll, and that's what you get paid to do. It's not been great. So stability is important. The fact that they're playing a very good schedule, something they didn't used to do, and I think those days are well behind them. I believe that if Bobby Hurley felt strong enough about signing a contract extension to stay at Arizona State, it must mean that Ray Anderson is closer and closer to getting rid of the dumpy building that they play in and getting a makeover so that Bobby could be in a first-class facility. They're not. They don't have a first-class facility. Nobody can dispute that. It's got a roof on, and that's about it. At the same time, if you're an Arizona Wildcat fan, I talked about this earlier in the week. I believe, okay, it is me and people that I talk to whose opinions I trust, that eventually Sean Miller is not going to get fired. He's not going to quit. I'm only going here in the near future. I believe that he will start out the season and he will be in a space where he is suspended. In my humble opinion, he will be suspended at the start of the season. Hasn't come down yet. I'm just merely looking at tea leaves and what I hear and what I see. The Arizona attorney has come out and said U of A is facing significant sanctions and penalties. Something is going to happen in Tucson outside of Book Richardson. It just will. So those two stories caught my eye. And then the other one is, you guys heard about this cheating scandal going on at USC with Hollywood socialites getting kids pushed through, big boosters, donors getting kids pushed through into the universities. Pat Hayden reportedly, according to the LA Times, what a mess USC is, what a just cluster USC is involved in this college admission scandal, reportedly. So they're looking into that. I've got some baseball to get to with the Diamondbacks in a little bit, but on the other side, Chris Cartman. Chris Cartman with SunDevilSource.com. He's out actually at Passing Leagues today. We will visit with Chris Cartman on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now let's turn our attention to the Bobby Hurley story and some other football stuff, because Bobby Hurley's contract extension is not the only news around Arizona State. This is a busy week for the Sun Devils. They're doing all sorts of camps. I will be out tonight at their big man camp. Chris Cartman, the man with SunDevilSource.com. He is with us out at Passing League right now. Do you see anybody that is a future Sun Devil within your sight lines, Chris?
No, actually, what they've done, Brad, is they staggered it this year, so they're only going 2 days. But some of the lesser talented teams have been in the morning sessions because the evenings have been the higher profile. So you're making a good decision by holding off until tonight.
I'll see you out there tonight, I'm assuming, because you're always there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there looking forward to it.
Your Sun Devil source man, Chris Cartman, with us. Bobby Hurley, contract extension. This is not a surprise, right?
Absolutely not. Definitely one of the better performing coaches in the Pac-12. Ray Anderson's done a good job of recognizing that he has to increase the salary pool for Hurley to be competitive. Also with the staff. Really importantly, Brad, one of the things that people don't really talk about that much is the staff compensation pool and how that entices coaches to be happy and want to stay. ASU's associate head coach, Rashawn Bruno, is probably the second or third highest paid assistant in the Pac-12 at this point. Hurley's probably now the third highest paid, maybe fourth at the worst head coach in the Pac-12. And those are the kinds of things that you can convey to recruits that enable you to have that selling power of what you're doing with your program.
Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com publisher with us. He was pursued this year again, do you believe, Bobby? He was pursued some last year. I had heard Pitt last year. Was he pursued at all, Chris, this year?
Yeah, he's had multiple job offers that he's turned down. The St. John's thing was actually a more realistic possibility than I think a lot of people realized. It didn't come together due to some administrative issues at St. John's. And I think that's the kind of job that's in New York City, and he's got a lot of roots nearby, and they had a billionaire from, you know, Smart Water or whatever, one of those companies that had the ability to finance it really special. And the AD there has known Herlig for 40 years, going back to being an SID at Duke. So there was a few things that made that appealing, but ultimately he didn't feel like it was the right fit, and also probably not the right time. If you look at their roster as it's shaping up, really they're going to be building in the next 2 years toward making a possible Sweet 16 or better run in 2 seasons from now, because that's when they'll have Remy Martin, Kamani Lawrence, Romello White as seniors, Tayshaun Cherry as a junior. They just really solidified what they're doing in the junior college ranks by signing probably the best junior college class on top of a couple of really good high school guys that you know locally, Jalen House and Jalen Graham.
Yep.
Those are the things that are going to enable their program to have a chance to be probably the best team that they've had in decades in that 2020 to 2021 season. And I think that's when you're going to see Hurley get a lot of really even better types of opportunities out nationally.
Okay. How much about the facility was this that Ray is conveyed to Bobby? We're going to get you a first-class facility to play in.
Yeah, absolutely. They know that's going to happen. Of course, Hurley wants that on as expedited a timeline as is possible, right? And there was initially a lot of talk about that possibly getting the financing being set up to have that construction start, this off season. It looks like it's not going to happen now until next year. They're going to be able to play in Wells Fargo while they go through that transformation. They have a really great Weather Up Center. Even though it's now been 15 years or so since they built it, it's still extremely competitive. Their crowd environment, because of Hurley, has been record setting in the last 2 years, having 10,000-11,000 fans on average. They opened up the seating in that top level, and so that sort of helped to mask some of the downside of that facility, which is certainly one of the more aging, worst facilities in the conference. They need to get that done to really entice Hurley beyond that 2 year time period that I'm talking about. If he feels like, okay, we're going to also have this phenomenal facility in 2021 to 2022, and their recruiting is able to start rolling downhill because of their success that they're having with some of these draft guys, and then what they're doing with the classes that they're adding right now, those are the types of things that structurally are going to entice Hurley to stay, coupled with, I'm sure, another bump that gets him into that $2 million range.
Chris Cartman with us, publisher, SunDevilSource.com. I don't mean this in any disrespect to you, but you are really, really good on basketball and football. But I think basketball, you've got a very deep, deep knowledge of what goes on with a coach. That is the backdrop. What do you look at Hurley and say, he's got to get better at X?
So I was actually just talking with somebody about this earlier today. Hurley's has an NBA-style approach to the game, okay? But in order to be able to have guys who think about it in terms of executing from a philosophical standpoint as opposed to a you-run-this-play XO standpoint, you need the right caliber of players. And also it takes a while developmentally to get them there. So the proper criticism of Hurley is that they probably underachieved a little bit last year relative to their own talent and also the historical weakness of the Pac-12. Okay, but the reasons are actually logical if you see it from Hurley's perspective, which is such to say that we want to teach Remy Martin and Kamani and Romello how to play the game at an elevated level so that the improvisational ability that they'll have as juniors and seniors really starts to pop. Now, whether or not that actually comes to fruition, that remains to be determined, okay? That's a difficult highly nuanced, calculated decision that he's making. And when people say, well, you know, not enough structure, shot selection is not good enough, maybe some of their defensive rotations and scheme aren't really good enough, I understand all those criticisms and even to some degree agree with them. But at the same time, I think that if their recruiting continues to go and they're able to get these veteran guys with 2, 3, 4 years of experience of doing it the way they want it to be done, then that's how you do have the ability to look like some of the better teams in the country who play that style of basketball and can be successful. But I will say that at times this last year, it was a little bit painful in late game situations when they couldn't execute the way they needed to.
Yeah, and I don't want to go up and down the roster, but I have to tell you, I'm surprised that Tayshaun Cherry is still around. There was times last year where I looked at him and said, I think he's going to be one of these guys that bolts out of here because I saw an immature player on the floor. Chris, to me, just to me, I think everything you said there about Kamani and Remy and Romello is very true. If Tayshaun Cherry can figure it out and play and be on the court and not act immature on the floor or in timeouts, I think they really have a possibility of breaking through. There's no question he's got talent, but man, oh man, does he wear on people.
I agree with you. He definitely has his antics, and that was the case when he was in high school. You know, he bailed out on his school before they were in their finals of their playoff run. He had some off the court stuff that happened.
Yep.
It's followed him. I understand that, but he is a very good prospect. Now, here's what could happen this year, and coaches have told me already that he's one of the guys that's worked the hardest in the off season to try to transform his body and to make some of these course corrections. Like they're not ignoring that reality of it. But what they've done now is they've added 2 6'9" junior college kids who have the ability to play that power forward position and push Tayshaun Cherry. And let's say he doesn't respond to it. Well, then you're actually going to be okay because you can put one or both of those guys on the floor.
Right.
You have Romello White. You can play a small ball maybe with Kamani Lawrence as a four-man. You get some redundancy that then takes the pressure off you needing Tayshaun Cherry to perform as like a 6th, 7th, 8th type of a guy. I think that's the direction that they're going. The competitive nature and the ability to sort of force guys to know that they need to mature.
A couple other questions. Like Chris Cartman Gale, publisher, SunDevilSource.com. I wanted to do a deep dive with him on Hurley with the contract extension. But, of course, you do follow football closely. How many wins are they going to get this year? What do you got, Chris? We're sitting here in June. I'm not going to hold it to you, but where are you at on this?
Right now, I think 7 wins. I think they're going to be probably a little bit better than a lot of the national media believe. There's still a perception out there that there's a bias against Herm Edwards. What you're going to see, Brad, is ASU's defense is going to be good this year, and then it's going to be really good, maybe great, in 2020. Okay, they have a senior-laden offensive line that's going to make it easier on the quarterback who I believe becomes the starter, if not at the outset, early in the season, which is Jaden Daniels. I want people in your audience to really start thinking about Jaden Daniels as a possible transformational type quarterback at ASU. His first 15 practices, the best first 15 practices that any freshman quarterback has had at ASU in the last 20 years, maybe going back generations. Okay, that's the level of
wow.
prospect that we're talking about. So there's going to be some hiccups with that early on. Okay, because you know you're gonna have a freshman out there, but you have Eno Benjamin. Teams are gonna load the box. You're gonna have a senior offensive lineman. You're gonna have to start throwing the ball to Eno. You're gonna have to have success with Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk could probably be a breakout player this year. Maybe 70 catches, 60 some odd catches, replacing N'Keal Harry. Their offense will do probably enough to get them to a bowl. I think 7-ish wins, but the future's bright if they can recruit the offensive linemen for the next year and some of the pieces are to surround Jaden Daniels with.
Okay, about, what was it, 15, 16 months ago, Herm was brought in, and the amount of hate, I'll just use the word hate, of the hire, most of it's gone away, but I still get the, if Todd Graham were still here, and I don't get that. I mean, do you still get some of that over on your platform? I'll be out at speaking things, and it's, they should have never let go of Todd. I don't get how people can still be caught up in that.
Well, there's an emotional component to Todd Graham because he was such a passionate Sun Devil, and you know, had committed to putting some of his own money. He helped get the fundraising for the football facility that they built and the transformation of Sun Devil Stadium. And so there's a romantic, almost quixotic sort of a notion that's associated with that. And then people felt like, and understandably so at the outset, that that there was a nepotism hire of Herm Edwards with Ray Anderson because he had been his agent and they didn't see the vision. And I think that Ray bungled the rollout, quite frankly, when he talked at the press conference about, you know, we should be competing in the top three in the Pac-12 and getting all these 4- and 5-star guys and top 15 recruiting classes every year. And that wasn't going to happen in a 1 to 2 year period because recruiting cycles are really more like 2 to 3 years at building the relationships and developing those things and getting and having that type of success. So I think he sort of set it up to where people had unrealistic expectations, but also, to be fair to Ray, he has a challenge because he's trying to get fans to stay motivated and interested and in the stadium and their seats and supporting the program financially, which is part of his job. And so that's a difficult sort of conundrum that he's trying to manage. I don't think he did the best job with the rollout. I think he could have done a much better job, and that would have alleviated some of those concerns. But the performance of Herm in that first year has helped to a large degree with a lot of the more passionate, serious ASU fans, which then can probably have a trickle-down effect through the community.
Before I get you out of here, Chris Cartman, publisher, sundevilsource.com. It is June, but in the recruiting cycles, June is very important. How do you think they are doing in this upcoming recruiting class as we sit here today? The in-state stuff, once again, they're losing some guys. They'll say we weren't interested in them or things fell apart at the last minute. Chubba Purdy is sitting out there doing his world tour, as I call it right now. How do you think they're doing, Chris, in recruiting this year?
So the in-state stuff is absolutely systemic. That's long running. It's a major challenge. They're trying to combat that by making a lot of these early offers to young players that they can develop over a 3-year period. They're not going to have a lot of success locally in the 2020 class. They'll probably end up with 2 or 3 of the top 10 guys, and then they'll take some other guys strategically, like they got Ben Bray. You know, 4.7 GPA, some of these high academic guys, Roman Dewey, same thing last year, those types. Now, it's not that big of a problem, though, for them, actually, because they're doing really good recruiting in a lot of their areas in that class. Their defense, they have defensive backs and defensive line recruits coming out of their ears. Antonio Pierce is going to get good linebackers, and they're really young with their best players at linebacker. I think they're going to do fine with their skill pieces, running back, wide receivers. The thing that is essentially going to determine their long-term success is how well they're able to recruit offensive linemen, because they have none who are juniors and sophomores on the roster.
Right.
It's all seniors and freshmen. They need to get offensive linemen. If they hit on them, they have a chance to mature into an excellent football team as Jaden Daniels sort of probably grows into the role, as I anticipate that he will.
Good stuff as always. Appreciate the time, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Brad, thanks.
See you later. This is Chris Cartman, publisher, sundevilsource.com. See, he sits out there, and he's watching like passing league stuff on a June morning, and he's going to be there tonight. So I will see Chris tonight, and I will say, dude, go on a date. I don't know. I mean, it's good stuff, but and Jordan's that way too. You know, Jordan will go to a baseball game and hang out, but Chris is terrific. Okay, so there's some other things I want to get to before we get to Bill. Goody's going to join us here in about 10 minutes. In particular around the baseball team and some things that I see around town, and Kerry Taylor's event last night too. That's next. So let's go over to Kerry Taylor. I thought about asking Kerry to come on the show today, and I just feel like there's still going to be more chapters in all of this. The Arcadia High School football coach that was removed last week, that was fired by Arcadia last night at Arcadia High School, there was a rally, a open event that the athletic director did not show up for. Kerry was not there, nor did I expect him to be. I had people that were there for me. I was not there last night, to be clear. But I had three people that were there that were filling me in, three people's opinions I respect, I know well. And I would say that the photos that were sent to me as the night progressed, it was very one-sided, and it's to be expected. And that is, we want Kerry Taylor back as our coach, and don't you guys know what's going on? There are crying kids there. It's one of the kids said, one of the players said, what do you mean we're recruiting? We only have 22 kids here. Well, the administration said that they're essentially that we have items that we don't want to talk about here. And so they didn't. And that's where it sits today. So a public display looks good in print, looks good on TV, crying kids, wanting their football coach to stay, hometown story and all that stuff. I don't mean to belittle it, but Kerry's not coming back, okay, from my view. And it doesn't mean I'm sitting here saying he shouldn't be back. I think that all tea leaves point towards the administration saying we're just going to go a different direction. They've already posted the job. And Kerry's going to learn from this. Kerry reminds me, if you guys know the name Charlie Regal very well, Kerry reminds me of a young Charlie Regal. And I can say this, I called Charlie yesterday about it. And I just said to him, you know, what's going on here with Kerry? Charlie's on the staff at Cal. Charlie comes into Arizona every year and comes down here and takes away top recruits. He just got Tommy Christakos over at Chaparral High School. Charlie's going to be a head coach soon. I don't know where. I think his next step is to be a coordinator somewhere, but he's at Cal right now. But I said to him first thing yesterday morning, it's like, hey, so you, Kerry Taylor, kind of separated at birth, same sort of deal. I remember when Charlie took over at Chaparral, brash was out there, had to figure out how to deal with well-heeled boosters, same situation as Arcadia High School. The difference was Chaparral had already had some success or a lot of success. So he came into that fire pit of, we need to keep going just as it was. He did have parents that came to him and said, yeah, our kid is not going to be around for 2 or 3 weeks because we're going on summer break. Well, that's fine. Your kid can be on JV. And then the next day they'd show up and say, you know what? Our kid will be here. We're not going to go on the summer vacation. So it's kind of the same deal. You have to understand the base. And I think I may write about this, that Charlie and Kerry are very similar. Kerry's young. Kerry is brash. Kerry should be coaching. Kerry has changed kids' lives. When you have kids that are out there and they're crying and they're showing a support publicly, that's a good thing for a football coach. I think for any coach, coaches change lives. Coaches are there to change lives. And Kerry was trying to do that. It was a bad hire by Arcadia. Arcadia just needed a caretaker. Instead, they got somebody who went from 0 to 60 like that. It's not a criticism of Kerry. That's just who he is, right? So I look at the administration on this one. Now, I've had others that have said, you know, he sent text messages out recruiting kids. Guys, text messages are all over the place from all sorts of schools. I get them. I'm just sitting here with a son who's 6'7", 295, who's an eighth grader. I've gotten some of those. Not from Arcadia, but it's, if I were to talk about that openly, it's just the culture that is out there. Arcadia is just built to, we just got a little football program and we're going to go be CEOs and CFOs, and sports really is not that big of a deal to us. That's how it has appeared to me through the years. And that's kind of what's gone on here in my view. Did Kerry make mistakes? Yeah, absolutely. But I hope that he is back coaching somewhere, even if it's as a position coach, and he gets his way back to being head coach. It's kind of like Steve Bellis. I want Steve Bellis to be back coaching. I've told Steve. I said, Steve, take the worst jobs that are out there. Don't try to go be on staffs that are going to compete for playoffs. You need to go humble yourself and go to some programs that never, ever, ever win, like Kerry did, and go turn it around. Those are two guys that I would love to have my son play for in various capacities. Okay. It's the proviso there. Chuba Purdy. So I didn't talk about this with Chris Cartman. I just mentioned his name. So Chuba is the only quarterback that ASU is recruiting today as we sit here and we speak. ASU is at some point in the next week or two, I believe that they are going to have to make a decision about moving on from Chuba Purdy because he has not made a decision. I think Arizona State has recruited Chubba Purdy very, very well. As I've sat here the last 16, 18 months and talked about what a poor job they did in recruiting his big brother, Brock Purdy, who only went on to become the Big 12 Freshman of the Year at Iowa State, I think they figured it out. It's a completely different staff that's done it the right way. On the Purdy side of the street, they've decided to go out and tour this last 7 days. A lot of that's been documented on our Twitter feed over at Sports360AZ. Every day there's pictures showing up of Chubba, whether it's at Louisville or Purdue or Kansas State, or tomorrow Michigan State, or maybe even tonight Michigan State. But when he comes back, I'm hopeful that this is figured out one way or the other. Look, it's pretty straightforward here. This kid is really good. Arizona State would like to keep an in-state quarterback at home. Bryce Perkins tried to play, got hurt, didn't play, left, went to community college. Now he's at Virginia. He'll be in the NFL. Outside of that, give me a quarterback who stayed at home the last 20 years that was a high school player here, and the answer would be nobody that came out and played. So I think both sides have done a much better job in recruiting on this one. If he says, you know what, I'm going to go to Louisville or I'm going to go to Michigan State, that's his call. That's his prerogative. If Arizona State doesn't get him, I'm not going to sit here and rip Arizona State. I'm not, because I think they've done a very good job on this one. Good Eat the Movies is next. Stay with us. Ever since Sunday night, when it started to break that the James Holzhauser spoiler was out, I've been wanting to talk to Bill. Because I figured Bill would be into this as much as I have been. I have been addicted to Jeopardy. The numbers, the ratings have been unbelievable. Even though this was taped back in March, somehow they kept it all quiet, but it did leak out at the last minute and Bill went crazy about it. That's fair to say, right? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, maybe not quite crazy, but I wasn't happy. As you say, I mean, it had lasted that long. Do we have to ruin everything? I mean, come on.
Okay, so let's get into this. So he runs through this amazing stretch on Jeopardy, where at the same time, Alex Trebek talks about his cancer earlier this year. I mean, the two components, I'm looking at Alex, and there's nights where I felt like he was not himself. So I was watching it every night. And then James just blows right through every single person. But here's the thing, Bill. In this day and age of social media, how can we expect any spoiler of any sort? Like Game of Thrones, there are spoilers that people were throwing out there. There's always going to be somebody with a site who's going to want to click, unfortunately. Right? I mean, we can't control it anymore.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they got as far as they did. I mean, without ruining this. And whoever had it, I mean, maybe they just got it, but at least they held it until right before. And, you know, maybe in some respects, maybe more people tuned in Monday night than would have. But, I mean, I think you're right. If all these Marvel movies and stuff, somebody will sneak into a screening or something and they'll with their phone and they'll, you know, and then they'll broadcast it everywhere. I don't get just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And I think that's one of the sort of pitfalls of social media. I am a huge fan of social media, as you know.
Yes.
I use it all the time, but I think that there are some real pitfalls.
Okay, so but in this case, what could Jeopardy have done? From my understanding, the contestants, they sign a non-disclosure, okay?
Right. Yes.
But nobody in the studio audience signs an NDA, a non-disclosure. So how is it that the studio audience, this was taped in March, and then when you have it airing at different times across the country in this day and age, it's not like they can say, you know what, we're going to show this episode at 6 p.m. in the East, 3 p.m. in the West, love it or hate it. They can't do that. So I don't see how you can keep from spoilers not happening.
Well, one thing, I don't think that the audience necessarily knows, because just think about that. The audience, they shoot these things in bulk. They shoot them a whole bunch at one time, but the same audience isn't there for all of it. And even the contestants, supposedly the woman that beat him and had no idea that he had won, you know, all these times. I spoke with the former vice mayor of Mesa. I can't think of her name. She was on there. She lost to him. She said she didn't, you know, she only found out later that he was this incredible juggernaut. I think some of it is just sort of ignorance is bliss. I think they keep them in the dark about some of it. And part of the other is probably just be a decent person. It's, it's interesting in his case because he's not like Ken Jennings. Everybody liked Ken Jennings and kind of rooted for him. A lot of people did not like Holzhauer because of the way that he played. You know, always going for the bottom row, always trying to find the daily doubles first, which is kind of the backwards way of the game is usually played. And that really, I mean, some people get upset about a lot of things, but some people really got upset about that and thought he's ruining the integrity of the game and all that stuff. I don't think that's true, but it did make people tune in more. And you'd think if it made people mad, they might have, you know, they might have leaked it. But, you know, I'm glad they held it as long as they did.
I felt like there were times where I was watching it where Alex was annoyed with him. And there were other times where he felt like he was pushing Alex's buttons, where Alex would try to, he'd give the answer and then just say 1,200, you know, and just move right through Alex before Alex could even set it up. I felt like there was a dynamic between the two of them that wasn't always healthy. I don't know if you watched it that closely, but I did.
But that's good TV.
No, it was.
I mean,
it was.
That's interesting. And it's also, you talked about Trebek's health. I heard Holzhauer in an interview after he lost, and he said they only found out the day that he lost. That was the first time that Trebek actually said anything to them about it. So he was not. It's so funny the way that the thing is shot. I mean, same with Price is Right and all these shows. They shoot a whole bunch of them, you know, at one time, and we watch them. The way that we watch it, it's like the one thing that you can't binge. You know,
no, that's true.
You can know, and it plays out over time, and I think that's a good thing, obviously. But I think it also sometimes I think it messes with our perception of how it took place and the way that it took place. If that makes sense.
Talking with Bill Goodykunz, AZ Central, AZ Central and Gannett chief film media critic, and man about town. You've not seen anything this week, according to Eric.
I was supposed to see Dark Phoenix, and I forgot to go.
So I don't blame you. I don't. It looks dreadful to me. It's like, well, it looks like, what is the point of this? Why am I sitting here for 2 hours? Why?
Well, I don't have any say in that. That's not why I didn't go. I thought it was on Tuesday night. It was on Monday night. I feel horrible.
Did you go to the theater? Did you go to the theater on Tuesday night and figure out you were wrong?
No, I got a phone call Monday night saying, "Where are you?" It was worse.
That's not good. That's not good.
It was not good.
So, personal side, I'm going for number 30 in the wedding aisle next. Next Monday. So she wants to go see Dark Phoenix, and I said, "There's not a chance we'll make it to 31 if we have to go see that dreadful thing." So I want to go see Late Night. And I have not heard anything about it. I don't know if you know anything about it. It looks to me like I missed the screening on it. But it looks like it's something that I need to go see. And have you heard anything about it?
It has not any buzz really that I'm aware of, but it has a great cast. And I'm Mindy Kaling and Emma Thompson. I mean, my feeling is, and don't get me wrong, it could be dreadful, but I feel like you can't go but so wrong with those two, you know?
Yeah, no, I can watch Emma. Shoot, that's worth the 30-year anniversary. Why not? Heck. What else you seeing? What else going on around town that you're seeing?
You know what I'm doing right now? What I'm getting ready to see?
Yeah.
I am loading trucks for Valley Youth Theater. My son was cast in a production of Freaky Friday the Musical.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
It is this level of commitment. I mean, you talk about... Like, every time I talk to Emma Stone, she always mentions Value Theater without me bringing it up. She always says, like, hey, how's Bob doing over there, the director?
Yeah.
And I understand it. They rehearse 6-8 hours a day. They'll tell you it's a professional production, but it's done by kids. And I got to say, it's one of those things that, I've been here for a while, but I've never really taken advantage of. It's a pretty cool thing. I mean, there's some good stuff going on.
You've never been cast in a role, never applied. I know it's youth theater, but you are a kid in some way. And
well,
you could be a school teacher. You could be. You've never applied, never tried out, auditioned?
In North Carolina, I wrote a column about I played a dead body in a play. And I didn't die. I was dead when the scene started. I just laid down and had to lay there for like 20 minutes while they did whatever they did around me. Not as tricky as you might think, actually. You might think there's a little to have. Mostly I just laid there. The trick, of course, is, don't yawn, don't move, but don't scratch, don't sneeze.
Yeah, yeah.
But it all worked out.
Yeah, yeah. I
think that probably reached the limits of my acting capability.
I don't mean to top you, but I think I can. So I played value theater, but as a kid, I played in a play, The Wizard is Odd. and I was a tree. And I stood there with my arms out to the side, just as a tree. And the Tin Man came up and said, "Hi, tree." And I just had to stand there. So I was a tree for a play. Now, when you're in fourth grade and you're 5'9" or whatever I was in fourth grade, I was a pretty dang big tree. I was good, man. I was a solid tree. So that's one of my career highlights. I was a tree. I didn't screw it up. I had no lines. I just sat there with my arms aside. Hi, tree. So
I feel like while you were clearly perfect for the role, it's also a little bit of typecasting, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say so. As long as it's a tree and not like you're going to play a hippo or something, then I'm fine. So I'll let you go off that. See you later.
All right.
Goody. It's always good to catch up with Bill. He had a good phone today, too. Yeah, we like Bill on a good phone. Devin Henry is the chairman of the board. He produced a really cool little spot that is in our TV show. And he's really big into the sport of speed. He's in a bunch of things, but he does a great job. And then Kennedy is here today. So could we have Kennedy's camera? Can we put Kennedy on? Is your mic on? Turn your mic on. Yeah, there's Kennedy.
Am I on?
You are on. So Kennedy has been, you've gone from intern here. You've been a part-time employee at Sports 360. You're going to be here for about another, 6 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And then you're going to L.A.?
Yep, I am.
And what are you going to be doing in L.A.?
For my last semester at Cronkite, we have a professional program that we have to complete, and I have the option. Thanks, Devin.
Yeah, that was good.
I have the option of going to L.A. or staying in Phoenix, and not many students choose the L.A. path, but I just felt like something that I wanted to do since I was a freshman was get out and experience as much as possible, so that's why I chose L.A.
Yeah, we're going to kick you out of here. And you're from Wyoming, right?
I am.
So here's the thing. She has come in here, and she's done a terrific job. And you want to do what Devin is doing. You do this on Wednesdays usually, right? Mm-hmm. So why not be on camera? Why are you so nervous? I mean, you're doing great. You're not screwing up.
you just threw me under the bus there.
That's right. No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with on the technical side, but I mean, why not do this?
Something I'm not really that comfortable with right now. I'm like actually really nervous.
Oh, right now you're really nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
Come on.
I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't anticipating being
I don't tell you guys when I'm going to throw you on the air. That's part of the deal. Either this is a can or can't business, and you can. Yeah. You're really good. You didn't screw up today, so nice job.
Thank you.
I'll get you out of here. All right, so there's Kennedy. Our show, if you missed any part of it, Chris Cartman was really good, and Bill was great. I was all right. And the staff, they did a great job behind the scenes. This show repeats now for the next 24 hours. And if you missed any part of it, you can check it out. We are self-funded, guys. Whenever we go to commercial breaks or I talk about people like Sagicor, it is because those companies believe in what we do. We've been doing this now for 8 years. We have a website. It's plenty of content. Sports360AZ.com, sports360AZ.com. And we do this show and we do our TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona. Make sure you have yourself a great day.